Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dubs Royal Court Review. This is Jen Bachman, and I'm here with Cindy Ellicott and Cassandra Callahan. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Jen.
Well, we have somehow made it to the end of November, and it is time for a new show. I don't know about you guys, but November flew by for me.
I can't even believe I was looking at the calendar today saying, how the heck did we get to November 27th already?
I know. So the holidays are upon us. I hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Lots of holiday news I think we're going to talk about for the parks today and some other news. But as we jump in, just want to remind the listeners that the Dubs Community Alliance has an affiliate link through Amazon Smile, which is the Amazon charity program. So as everyone is doing their holiday shopping, I know most everyone I know buys a ton of stuff off of Amazon. If you would be so kind as to add the Dubs Community Alliance as the charity that your purchases benefit and utilize either Amazon Smile or link it to your account, that will go a long way in helping the Edcott community charity and all the great things that the DCA has done since being founded. I think 2 years we're up and running. So
yes, 2 years.
2 years. Awesome.
Great. Yes.
Well, I guess we should jump in, guys. Cindy, do you want to kick us off today?
Sure. I think one of the things that I'm excited about was announced last month, but it's just getting to the time when it's going to be available, is the Amaretz cake decorating classes. And that's something that I really would like to do as a baker, just for fun. So it's Amaretz in Disney Springs, of course, is a luscious bakery. I had a pistachio cream eclair there when we were there in November that I'm still dreaming about. So you can book it now, beginning for dates in the end of November. I just looked today. It's $199 per table with a maximum of 2 participants per table. But the participants get unlimited beverages, like non-alcoholic beverages while they're doing the cake. Have to be at least 5 years old. So you girls, you could take your daughters with and do it, or your sons either. If you wanted to do 2 cakes, like if I was going with Brittany and we felt like we could probably handle doing 2 cakes and we wanted 2 cakes to show for it, additional cake is $50. So are you guys, is that something you guys are excited about doing?
I think that sounds actually like a lot of fun. I don't know that I would take my 5-year-old to do it just because of the cost involved. Yeah. And I would have to break away from the parks, but that does sound like a wonderful time. And I would like to start taking time to do extracurriculars outside of the park. So,
yeah, I agree. And I think it depends on the kind of trip you have. Like when we do our week plus trips, they definitely allow for different things like that. So I always love to check out different options. So the last thing I think I've done like that was the sangria class or the Sangria University over at Coronado Springs. Yeah. And that's a fun time.
All right. I will go next. And on, I want to talk about the Galactic Star Cruiser. So on November 22nd, Disney Vacation Club members received an email with a 30% off original point chart values on select 2-night Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser adventures. This is the first discount offered for the Star Cruiser experience since its opening in March 2022. DVC members taking advantage of this discount must either book with all points or a combination of points and cash. So if you look at the point chart conversions for those as a DVC club member, it costs a lot of points and some would consider it not a great value. But in saying that, some are hopeful that this is the first step in offering discounts to the general Disney audience as well. I don't know if this speaks boldly for how successful, you know, the Galactic Star Cruiser is, but or the repeatability factor, I think, you know, cost. I would love to do it one day, but not at the current rate.
I definitely think the repeatability cost is something to consider.
Yeah.
But with that 30% off as a DVC member, you know, you're at that $3,500 for the 2 nights for up to 4 people.
Right.
You know, deluxe resort, all meals included, that kind of thing. The you do get the park entry to Galaxy's Edge. So I don't think at that point that I would look at it as this is too big of an extravagance, especially right. if I'm a Star Wars fan. But at the 5,200, yeah, I'm looking at it and going, that's just a little bit beyond. So like you right. said, maybe an indication that there will be discounts available for times that are not peak. That would be good news.
And I don't know, honestly, if I would use, because this is 30% off of DVC point charts, and those point charts are always elevated. If you're exchanging your Disney Vacation Club points to take right. a cruise or now for this, those are always not necessarily, if you have an overabundance of points that you're going to lose, you know what I mean? By all means, you know, this may be a good value for you, but some would see it as a not a good option to utilize your points. So, but it's a discount and maybe it transpires to different discounts.
Or maybe somebody can hook you up with some DVC points to rent at a good price. Maybe.
Yeah.
Does that appeal to you guys? Would you want to do it? Even, I mean, regardless of price, it's just not my thing, I don't think.
I would like two nights. Yeah. I would like to do it one time. Especially for my husband and son. But I don't have to do it.
Yeah. You know?
From my perspective, I would probably spend the money on something else if I was just myself. For my daughter, who is a huge fan and she loves to do all of the bounding and the dresses and mm-hmm. the costumes, I would do it for her.
Right.
What a nice mom you are, Cindy.
Great mom.
Well, I'm going to reverse course a little here, guys, and talk about something I'm going to guess most of our listeners have heard about, and that is the return of Bob Iger. So let's say it was the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And this was kind of a surprise announcement, started to leak out through a variety of news reports. And everyone was trying to figure out if it was legitimate, but it was announced that Bob Chapek was essentially terminated from his role as Disney CEO, and Bob Iger, who had been the previous CEO, is going to return. And it was a very quick transition because he returned, I think, that following day, which was that Monday. So I want to talk a little bit kind of about what this means. And, you know, I work for a large company and have seen some things like this. I know I'll just start by saying Bob Chapek was not well liked. Right. I think he probably had one of the worst reputations as a public figure in Disney's history. Whether or not that was all his fault, I think people can debate that. But he did not have that likability factor. And so, you know, a lot of people think this was, oh, because there were things going on in the parks and guests are unhappy. I don't believe that. I think this was very much a Wall Street driven move.
Financially, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So Disney's been struggling a little bit. I mean, they're doing well in their park segment, but they had some huge losses in their streaming division. So I think it was almost $1.5 billion that streaming lost, which I don't entirely understand how that could be, given the popularity and the market leader that Disney Plus is. But, you know, they're definitely struggling there. And I think this was a direct reaction to investors not being happy with stock prices and not being happy with where the company was in terms of finances. So what happened was they brought Iger back. They gave him a 2-year deal. We will see what happens at the end of that 2 years. But Chapek was immediately ousted, and I think it was classified as fired without cause. And then he resigned from his seat on the board. So along with his departure, we've seen now two other Disney executives leaving. So Arthur Bauchner, who was the VP of Strategic Communications. And in that role, he really was the lead speechwriter for Chapek. And if you've seen or listened to any investor calls and a lot of commentaries that Chapek had, a lot of those remarks just didn't resonate with fans. And he's alienated a lot of that core fan base. I know, you know, the joke for Disney pass holders is that they're the undesirables. So not shocked that Bauchner has left in addition to Chapek. And then also not surprised by this one, given the losses on the streaming side, Kareem Daniel, who was chairman of Disney Media and Entertainment's division, is departing as well. So one thing I thought was kind of interesting is Iger's package to return. It was not as fruitful as I would have thought it would be, or would have been rather. So he will earn $1 million base salary annually and then be eligible for a bonus of $1 million. But the majority of his package is in long-term incentives. So usually those are stock options. And that's got a target value of $25 million for each year of his contract. So you're talking about probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $27 million a year when you add all that up. But if you look at what he was being paid when he left, that is well below what he was being paid at that time and below what Chapek was being paid. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So, you know, I know everyone on social media Sunday and into all through this week, even people I know that aren't big Disney fans have been commenting on this. So it was a huge news story. I think, you know, Scrooge McDuck kind of personality and persona that Chapek had, I do believe Iger will look to dial some of that back. I don't believe we'll have a ton of action in terms of, you know, I've heard comments on, oh, prices are going to drop at the park. I don't know that that will happen. Disney is a publicly held company and revenue is always going to be top of mind. But I do think there will be decisions to make things like that less obvious. And I do expect to see some more goodwill towards that core parks fan base that hadn't been extended under previous leadership. But we'll see what moves are made.
Members.
Yes.
And yeah. Cast members. There's a couple of changes that have come out already, and they have admitted that they were in the works before Iger took over. One of them is them choosing to allow cast members to have both the Disney Plus bundle and the Gate Pass bundle. So they, under Chapek, had said, you have to choose one. You're only going to get one mm-hmm. as a cast member. You can either choose to have a limited number of passes to bring friends and family, as well as your own past with its limitations of staff members have of certain peak times and stuff, or you can choose to have the Disney Plus bundle and have that. So now they have rescinded that choice and said, no, they're going to get both again. So, you know, I think they're going to really make a initiative towards the staff. And I think staff are reacting to that already. There's a lot of comments already on social media.
Yeah.
Morale is up and cast members are being a lot friendlier in the parks, and just, they see some hope on the horizon.
Yeah.
With the streaming being an issue for why they were losing money, you know, they pushed hard for generating their own content. Wanted to be on the same level as Netflix and have control over their own content. And that costs a lot of money mm-hmm. out of pocket. Mm-hmm. I can't remember all of the ones that they generated or that they developed, but the Doogie Howser off in Hawaii thing was one of them. And, you know, we'll come back. It's not like it was a one and done. They're going to continue to generate revenue off of that. But I don't think that even the numbers you quoted there are the total number of losses that they saw with the Disney streaming, because I read today that one of the things they found is that costs associated with marketing were being put off onto other budgets. So
that their
budget was not reflecting the true cost of developing their own content and marketing it. So, and I mean, companies do this all the time, but I do think that push for them to generate their own content will have profits in the future, but it was very costly for them right now. So I understand why they're streaming when they came on, it quickly made money and then started losing money.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I think like you guys said, this was a huge morale boost for both cast members and Disney fans. You know, Iger's recognized as a more creative leader, which I think everyone is going to appreciate that element of his leadership that Chapek didn't bring. So we will see. And I have to say, Cindy, I'm glad you mentioned that Doogie show, because it reminded me that if you've not watched that with your kids, it's an excellent show.
I didn't know it existed.
So, yes.
But, and I want to say I may be part of the problem. I find that I'm more on Netflix than on Disney Plus. And if somebody's going to watch Netflix, Disney Plus, it's going to be my husband and son with, Andor, you know, the new Star Wars show, the new Marvel show, you know.
Yeah,
Mandalorian. I'm not the target audience. Hocus Pocus, Hocus Pocus 2, you know, that's more my, you know, style. So, Phineas and Ferb. Yeah. So, but.
Okay. Right. I know one thing that's your style, Cassandra, and that's meeting Santa Claus when we go to the Christmas party.
Yes.
So the one thing I was just going to mention is that people are wondering where the photo op. I've seen some comments asking where the photo op with Santa is in Epcot during the Festival of the Holidays, and it is at the Odyssey Pavilion. So it's not in the World Showcase. It's actually in the Odyssey Pavilion. Now, there are the other Santas at the other places. So you know, you've got Father Christmas and stuff like that, Père Noël. But if you want the photo op, it's at the Odyssey Pavilion, November 25th through December 30th. And for the Festival of the Holidays, that's the... when the Festival of the Holidays runs as well, but through November 25th through November 30th, pass holders can actually get 10% off of food and non-alcoholic drinks on Tuesdays only using cashless payments at the, what are they calling them? It's the food kiosks, but the...
The festival holiday booths.
Yeah, the festival
booths. Holiday booths, yeah.
Yeah. And Olaf is back with his holiday tradition expedition for festival goers and their kids and stuff like that to collect the stickers and get a little prize as well. So Festival of Holidays is well going, well underway.
I hate we missed it.
Yeah, just barely.
I know.
I just missed it too, but I did get to... see all the holiday decorations. And I feel like this is a nice segue. So Cassandra, I'm going to cut you. We're going to go out of order for a second. Oh, okay. Because I want to keep talking about the holidays. But you know, holidays definitely have arrived now in the parks and at the resorts. And did you guys know there are 29 custom themed trees that are considered iconic trees in the parks and resorts? And the tallest, you guys want to guess where the tallest one is?
The Contemporary.
That is correct. So it has 16,000 lights on it. So we are like the National Lampoon's Christmas people of our neighborhood. And if Joe Bachman hears that, he's going to be out there doing more lights. But that is the biggest at 70 feet. And then there are 596 smaller trees throughout the resort, which... I knew there were a lot. I don't think I realized there were that many. And one thing we got to check out recently was one of the gingerbread creations. So if you don't know about this, this is a great activity if you have a resort day or have some downtime, is to go to most of the deluxe resorts have them. Not all of them, but there are different gingerbread creations. So at the Grand Floridian, there is a 14-foot tall Austrian-inspired recipe gingerbread house. And then they have a bake shop there where they sell all the goodies. And then at the Beach Club, this is my favorite, they have a gingerbread carousel, and it actually works. The horses move up and down. This year's theme is Disney princesses. And you can pop next door into the Yacht Club and check out. They have a Christmas Village train set there. The Boardwalk has a miniature version of the Boardwalk Deli built out of gingerbread. Animal Kingdom, I think this is new this year, over at Jumbo, they have little, they're life-size, but they're little baby giraffes and a baby zebra made out of gingerbread.
I think that was last year, but it was
last year. Okay.
Yeah. So still fairly new.
And then the Contemporary has, this is the one we saw, it's a Mary Blair inspired Cinderella castle. So that one is pretty cool. I know there's a picture of that one up on the Dubs Instagram as well. And then over at American Adventure, they have some, they're calling it Patriotic Flair Meets Pastry, gingerbread creations of the Lincoln Memorial, the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, and then the American Adventure building. And then my last little bit about Christmas, and then I'm going to hand it over to Cassandra, is this was a surprise to me. I didn't expect to see him, but Santa is now on one of the flotilla pontoon boats around Animal Kingdom. So if you guys are there over the holidays, you can spot Santa cruising down the river.
We did see him when we were there.
Yeah.
When we were, yeah, we were just coming over the bridge from the Nemo. I was kind of following behind, but the flotilla was just coming around the corner, and Santa,
I missed
was
Santa
on, it.
On the pontoon. I did.
He was cute.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, talking about floating and boats, how about that?
Love it.
Disney Cruise Line announces acquisition of ship with plans to visit new markets, owning one of the world's largest cruise ships. Disney announced late Wednesday that it was buying a massive half-finished ship that was until recently under construction for Asia-based Dream Cruise, which went out of business in January 2022. So this ship had been on the market for 10 months since. My husband had been watching its progress for some reason. I don't know. He brought this up a few months ago, and then there was like jibber jabber talks about Disney and, you know, acquiring it, but it's a done deal. Disney's acquired it. So the new ship, currently named Global Dream, will be renamed and reimagined by Disney before joining the Disney Cruise Line fleet in 2025. The passenger capacity is to be approximately 6,000 with around 2,300 crew members. The yet to be named vessel will be based outside of the United States, with further details around its maiden voyage and itineraries to be announced at a later date. So, and my last little bit, in a statement by Josh Damaro, chairman of Disney Parks Experiences and Products, our cruise ships give us the unique opportunity to bring Disney magic to fans no matter where they are. And the addition of this ship will make a Disney Cruise Line vacation accessible to more families than ever before. So I think that there's rumors for it to stay in the Asian markets.
Interesting. So this is not the ship they're going to use for, because at D23, the Treasure, this is a different one.
Nope. I think that one's still.
No, they had a news announcement saying that the Treasure would not be replaced by this one.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're saying you think it's going to be sailing in the Asian markets, Cassandra?
That's your guess? That's my guess. Yeah. I think that's where this was actually going to be sailing out of, right?
Yeah.
But definitely outside of the U.S. In areas that we have not sailed before. So
yeah, my guess would have been similar. I was thinking in the New Zealand, Fiji area in there, based out of Australia, possibly, or New Zealand.
Yeah,
there would be some exceptional cruise opportunities in that area.
I bet. It's supposed to be a massive ship. I think I read that it's been $1.8 billion in construction costs.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I'm always interested what they're going to name it. I was thinking like, okay, the Treasure, what's next? And I came up with Jewel, but Royal has a Jewel of the Seas. So I'm like, maybe they won't do that.
Yeah.
I'll keep thinking. All right, Cindy, what you got?
I have a few things here, and the theme is Disney cast members giving back this holiday season. It's something I like to talk about, is how involved the cast members are, led by Disney World Company. They are involved in the community and, Central Florida as well. So a few things. One is the Disney World Culinary Team members prepared home-cooked meals for hundreds of residents at the Coalition for the Homeless of Central Florida for Thanksgiving. And these meals were served to residents by Disney volunteers, the EARS. So they're Disney cast members who do this on a volunteer basis. Disney chefs are also preparing a traditional meal for Christmas for residents at Harbor House of Central Florida, an organization that provides refuge and support for victims of domestic abuse. Disney World cast members are teaming up with the Osceola Council on Aging in an ongoing mission to bring food to more than 200 seniors that were displaced by Hurricane Ian. This is in addition to the Walt Disney Company supporting the organization through monetary and critical resource donations that include food, water, blankets, hygiene products, and more. And Disney volunteers are working alongside Heart of Florida United Way, packing 4,000 meal meal kits weekly for residents in Orange, Osceola, and Seminole counties. So there's a real, I mean, it's feel good time of year, right? We all think about the holidays and everything that we want to do for others, but it's good to remember too that this is something that they're very involved in and something that they work hard on. So we want to probably remember to thank the cast members for helping and spreading the magic to so many people. And what got me going on this was just the launch of 2022 Disney Ultimate Toy Drive. So from now through December 24th, families can donate to the toy drive by purchasing a toy online at Shop Disney or by donating in person through December 12th at Disney Springs or a Disney Store or Disney World Outlet. So at World of Disney, Marketplace Co-op, Star Wars Galactic Outpost, Disney Springs Welcome Center. And also cast members do a lot of donating of toys and they don't, there's areas set up in the backstage area. So you could get one to a cast member and they would be able to donate it as well. So this supports Marine Toys for Tots program, again, for children in Orange, Osceola and Seminole counties. This program has been going for over 75 years and they've donated over 630 million toys to over 280 million children. So that's our feel good story for going into Christmas.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
A lot of people will benefit from that. I appreciate you sharing that.
So to kind of piggyback off of that, Walt Disney World announces the Michaels Organization as developer for affordable and attainable housing initiative. So located just miles away from the Magic Kingdom, the new development is expected to include more than 1,300 units. It will offer, I cannot talk y'all. It will offer Central Florida residents, including Disney cast members, a variety of affordable and attainable home choices. The land contributed for this initiative west of State Road 429, just a few miles away from the Magic Kingdom, near schools and shopping, including Flamingo Crossings Town Center. The development is expected to be privately financed and limited to applicants within a certain income range. Disney said that the project is near and dear to our hearts, and they will share more details about a construction timeline in the future. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So exciting.
All right.
Well, guys, I'm going to totally change gears and I don't even have a good segue. So
no more feel goods.
Well, this is feel good, I think. So I'm going to take us to the other coast. We're going to talk about Disneyland for a few minutes. I think this is feel good. So I want to talk about two events announced for Disney California Adventure. The first of which is going to be their Lunar New Year celebration. That is going to run from January 20th through February 15th. So just a few weeks. And next year, 2023 is the year of the rabbit. And their celebration will focus on a tribute to Chinese, Korean, and Vietnamese cultures. It's going to feature Minnie and Mickey in festive attire, and then Mushu and Mulan. As the centerpiece of the celebration, they will have a Mulan's Lunar New Year procession. So a little bit of a parade, and it'll be hosted by both Mulan and Mushu. And they will be joined by dozens of spirited parade performers with the theme of honoring family, friendship, and fortune-filled New Year. They have a little festival booth set up for Lunar New Year. And this year, they're going to add two new booths, the Bamboo Blessings and Wrapped with Love booth, and they're going to join the existing four festival booths. So if you are headed out to Disneyland during this time, you can check those out. You can also buy a Sip and Savor Pass, which lets you, I think, try six food and non-alcoholic beverage offerings at the variety of booths or share one with a friend. And then in addition to that, prior to World of Color, they will be having Hurry Home, a Lunar New Year celebration, which is going to be a water show that runs at that same location that World of Color does. But it tells the story of a lantern's quest to reunite with family for the annual celebration of good luck and fortune. And during the festival, there's also going to be some crafts, Chinese calligraphy demonstrations, and a lucky wish wall, where guests can share their hopes for the year ahead. And then in line with this festival kicking off, Raya from Raya and the Last Dragon will be meeting guests again, and she will be located on the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. So lots of fun things happening as part of that. I love that they, you know, focus on some more cultural things out there. That's awesome. And speaking of awesome, I want to talk about Disney's California Adventure, their own version of Food and Wine. So unlike Epcot's Food and Wine, which is more global, theirs focuses on the taste of California, the best California has to offer. And this will run from March 3rd through April 5th. There are 12 marketplaces that are a part of this festival. And in addition to the food booths, they're going to have some festival-inspired dishes as well at select restaurants in Disney California Adventure, in Downtown Disney, and some of the Disneyland resorts. They'll have family-friendly entertainment, including the Jammin' Chefs, which in my mind are like the Jammeters in chef hats. But we'll
That's
see.
What I'm thinking.
Chef Goofy and Alice's Wonderland Unbirthday Party, which sounds adorable. And then they'll have some additional entertainment offerings on both the Palisades stage and Paradise Gardens bandstand. There are going to be some complimentary crafts and culinary demonstrations on the weekends. And then there's some signature events available. So if you are a huge foodie and thinking of going to that area, that would be something great to check out. And those signature offerings are like cocktail seminars or deluxe wine tastings. There's something for everyone out there. And then with that, they are going to bring back for a limited time Soarin' Over California. So right now they have Soarin' Around the World, but they're going to bring back Soarin' Over California just for a limited time while that festival runs over at California Adventure. So it's a great time if you're thinking of a trip. The spring is a great time to visit and check out that festival.
I agree with you, Jen, that California really does their festivals well. Mm-hmm. They may not have the number of food offerings and booths and stuff like that, but it's really unique offerings, and they're really well done. They very incorporate the aesthetic well. Pardon me. But even just their fresh food offerings, like I know at the Oogie Boogie Bash, if you didn't want candy, there was apples and oranges and little vegetable packs and stuff like that that you could get. So California has a little bit of a different focus, and it's interesting to go there when you're used to going to Disney World and just see things done a little differently. I encourage it. We really enjoyed the going for the festival holidays in DCA. Was done a little differently as well, and very interesting.
Yeah, I think I was out there one time. It was prior to Halloween because we did the Oogie Boogie Bash, which I tell everyone, I think that's so much better than Mickey's Not So Scary. But they did a whole section for Day of the Dead, and they just do a lot more cultural things out there. And it's just, I love getting to talk to my kids about that and expose them to different cultures. So it's an awesome opportunity to do that.
So exposing our children to different cultures, I guess this kind of fits in. I don't know if you guys have done the Christmas tree stroll at Disney Springs with your children, but mm-hmm. it is back this year. And the Encanto tree has actually been voted the best done tree of the stroll, but it does have a scavenger hunt associated with it as well. So it's something you can get active with your kids and do, or you could just do yourself. There's 20 trees. And if you find all of the 20 trees, you're able to win a small prize. But the other thing I didn't realize is during this season, on the weekends, it's actually snowing at Disney Springs.
I didn't know that either.
No, I kind of want to take a weekend trip down now.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So I would like to talk about annual passes. So while annual passes sales for Walt Disney World are still on hold outside of the Pixie Pass for Florida residents only, Disney announced price increases for new purchases and renewals starting December 8th.
For new purchases, the IncrediPass, which has no blockout dates, is going from $1,299 to $1,399, a $100 increase. So I'm just going to talk about increases. Sorcerer Pass is increasing by $70. The Pirate Pass is increasing by $50. And again, the Pixie Dust Pass, there is no change in the cost of that pass. Renewals of an annual pass will be also increasing between $43 and $100, depending on what type of pass you have. So with the increases in the purchasing also reflected, and not just the renewals, we're wondering if maybe they list annual passes for sale soon.
They might. They did for Disneyland for one day, and then they sold out.
Yeah. So if they go on sale, you guys, and you want one, you better hop on it. So, but you know, the fact that they put new purchasing costs on there when renewals were only being done kind of has me wondering if it's coming down the line. So,
yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, whether it's just PR moves or what, I think then that'll be seen as, oh, Iger brought back annual passes, and that'll be a huge win.
Yeah. Huge win in his books. So, you know, because
I
like
have
you
to renew it, soon.
Oh, do you? I just renew. Well, I have to renew in 2 days for the kids before the price increase.
There you go.
They're not due for renewal until February, but I'm going to get in before the price increase because you can renew 60 days beforehand.
Yeah, I will. I think I renew in March, so I'll just miss it.
Got to pay more.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is going to look, you know, will be a good public relations boost for people. And, you know, it's kind of an antidote to the whole undesirables for annual pass holders if they start offering them again and have some benefits with them as well, that they seem to be looking at some extended hours again and stuff like that. So I agree that we'll probably see those available for sale again pretty soon, especially Disney World. I can see Disneyland. They're just struggling with limited space and limited park capacity that Disney World can monitor and deal with a lot easier.
Yeah.
But while you're talking about the passes, annual passes and prices going up and stuff like that, and we're talking about the holiday season, we all know that holiday season is typically busier days at the parks, and there's also particularly Magic Kingdom where some of the nights get shortened because of the Christmas parties and stuff like that. So Disney has announced extended hours for both Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom in December for that busy season. So days where the Magic Kingdom isn't closed for Christmas party, they're actually extending hours from either 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. or 8 a.m. on a day of a Christmas party. They're opening at 8 instead of 9. So that's for Magic Kingdom. And then for Animal Kingdom, they're going to be after, what do we got, December 9th, hours are going to be 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. instead of 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then there will be 4 days in that period, the 10th, the 11th, the 23rd, and the 24th, where they will be 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So you'll actually have 12 hours at Animal Kingdom. And I know when we were there, we saw the Merry Menagerie, the puppets, which was really neat. All of the lanterns they've got out and the different cultural Christmas decor. I really suggest making it a point to visit Animal Kingdom just for the holiday season. I think everybody should do that. I know Animal Kingdom gets lost in the rush of everything going on at Hollywood Studios now or Magic Kingdom, but Animal Kingdom was beautiful when we were there. Yeah.
The menagerie was a treat, and just the interaction with the kids. The kids really enjoyed that, and I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah. And Minnie and Mickey are meeting there in their holiday safari outfit. So you guys can check that out too.
Yeah.
They change every year. This year is a little more muted. They just have like holiday touches. I think a couple of years ago, they were full holiday apparel and less safari, but it's always, always fun to see year after year what they dress them up in.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go back to pricing. Wah, wah. So Genie Plus is now variable pricing for Disney World, depending on day. And we just saw this past week, the week of Thanksgiving, it hit a new high. And so it climbed to a whopping $29 per person per day. So if you are a math nerd like myself, that is... here you go, Cassandra. This is super nerdy. I did the math on this.
Okay.
That is a 93.33% increase from the previous price when it was $15, not too long ago. So it'll be interesting to see, not necessarily interesting in a good way, but if that was Thanksgiving, will it top 30 over Christmas? Because Thanksgiving is busy, but it's not Christmas busy.
I think it's interesting that they've now dropped it down to 17 for this coming week.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that they are really trying to control the way people go to the parks and stuff. So even if you're coming down for Thanksgiving time, maybe you'll spend a day or two at the resort early on and then plan for the slower week to go to the park instead. So yeah, they're using it definitely to their advantage.
Yeah, we were told in 2018 when we came down with my parents that, you know, everybody says the week after Thanksgiving is really like slow and it's perfect. And so we planned the week after Thanksgiving and it was chaos, super busy. But then my husband showed me something on Facebook and they took a picture of empty Hollywood Studios on the entrance way in at 1:30 in the afternoon. So we just were not lucky in our week after Thanksgiving. But, you know, the Genie Plus prices point otherwise.
So. Yeah, no, I agree. And so I guess continuing that theme on pricing and expense, Disney has announced a new pricing structure and increases for the one-day, one-park tickets, and that's going to start on December 8th. So right now we have pricing for one-day tickets and multiple-day tickets as well that's based on when you are going to use it. So it's date-based pricing. But up until now, all four parks have been the same price, just changes according to date. But now each of the parks will be a different price. So it'll be both park-based and date-based pricing on those one-day tickets. So the ranges for this are Magic Kingdom is going to be between $124 and $189 plus tax. Epcot's going to be between $114 and $179 plus tax. I should have just said plus tax. All these include tax. Hollywood Studios, just like, actually, it starts a little higher. So it's $124 to $179. And then Animal Kingdom is a bargain. So Animal Kingdom, you can get in for $109 to $159. And then the change that comes along with that, though, is that you don't have to make a park reservation on these one-day tickets. Because you are buying it for a specific park, the reservation will automatically be made upon your ticket purchase.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, I think we were all hoping that we would see the end of park reservations. I don't know. I don't know how that bodes for that. We are also expecting, although we've not seen super firm announcements on this, Park Hopper and Park Hopper Plus pricing is going to change, and that will vary day to day as well. It may also vary park to park. We just don't know yet. But if you are thinking about buying park tickets, they've really announced this one-day change for December 8th, and then along with the AP announcement, I would just go ahead and buy them.
Disney Plus is also going up December 8th.
Yeah.
So December 8th is like the...
If you know you're going, just buy your tickets and get in at the previous rate.
Yep. I agree.
It's interesting too, because they said the speculation is that the park hopping is going to be relaxed for those one-day tickets, where the annual pass holders will still be restricted to maybe 1 o'clock before you can hop. But they're saying that with the purchase of the individual tickets, you'll be able to hop earlier than that. And I'm thinking, well, then they didn't, because I would just buy an Animal Kingdom ticket and hop at 9 o'clock, right?
Like, right.
And then when they used to do the multi-day, I would always buy a 10-day ticket. And then the whole price of your ticket was based on whatever the first day you bought the ticket for. So even if I wasn't going to be in the park on Thursday, if I had some leeway, because you always had 2 weeks to use the 10-day tickets, I would pick the Thursday because that was the cheapest park day. Mm-hmm. Then my tickets were based on the Thursday price, not the Friday or Saturday price.
Yeah.
So now are people going to be buying the ticket based on that? And everybody's going to put a start place of Animal Kingdom so that all of their tickets are based on the Animal Kingdom price. And because, I mean, I can't see if you buy a 10-day ticket that you're going to be knowing what days you're going to go to Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom. I wouldn't at that point. And I know you have to make reservations now, so you know a little bit more. But it'll be interesting to see how much math you have to do to figure out your ticket prices for sure.
Yeah. No, I hadn't thought about that, Cindy, but that's probably why they didn't make that change for multiple days. Mm-hmm. That's super interesting. But I wonder if where they're headed, and this is total speculation, is, you know, X amount of visits to, you could, like, it would be cheaper if you bought 2 Animal Kingdom days and then a day at each park. I mean, there's a lot of ways they could look at this, and hopefully they don't do that, because it's already super complicated. But
yeah, I'm okay with, you know, in talking about theme park reservations, I know it's like a hated thing, you know, everywhere. It doesn't bother me so much because I'm a planner, you know what I mean? So we plan our park days well in advance.
Yeah.
It's a last minute, you know, decision to go. And then you realize Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom are sold out on the only day that you want to go. That's super frustrating. I do hope that they relax the park hopping 2 p.m. a little bit. You know, everybody's like, Iger's back. He's going to drop park reservations. He's going to drop the hopping time. And, you know, passes are going to go back on sale. So I don't know. Genie Plus is going away. No. That's a big moneymaker. Nope. He's going to bring the morale back. And, like, you know, like we talked about, he's going to benefit, you know, in other ways, Yeah. You know.
So everybody's throwing out there all the changes that they want made, but I don't see there being huge changes. I'm probably a bit of a conspiracy theorist in my theory of what went on, but I honestly believe that Chapek was brought in to be Hatchet Man. He did the job. Now he got his $25 million golden parachute and he's out, and Iger can come in and kind of just calm everything down, and all of the major streamlining was done, and they'll go on from here. And I mean, that works for Iger as well, because with him taking a lot of his salary and stock options, it's not a bad idea for the stock prices to go up after he gets his, you know, after he gets stocks. So I feel like there won't be a grand scale changes.
Yeah, I agree.
I do want to talk about advanced dining reservations and the new cancellation window that was put into place. So effective November 15th, Disney World officially announced that guests can now cancel their dining reservations up to 2 hours in advance without any sort of cancellation fee. So while this may not be the case at all locations, it should apply to most. Before, you would have to cancel at least 1 day in advance to avoid any type of penalties. So when it comes to this, if you know, we follow a lot of blogs and Facebook groups, and you have your people that are for this and not for this. But so some are not in favor of this change, as hoarding of dining reservations and canceling 24 hours beforehand is an issue. Like if you go out to make, say, a dining reservation, even 50 days before your trip, there is, you know, everything's like the highly desirable advanced dining reservations are gone. And that's because hoarding of these reservations are an issue. So now this is going to allow them to hoard reservations up to 2 hours before the dining window. So what this may assist with, though, is additional flexibility in your day and more opportunities for walk-up availability at the restaurants the day of. So it's going to leave that walk-up, I think, option.
My only challenge with a walk up is you have to be within a certain range. And I get, you know, obviously
Yeah.
But you have to be pretty close. Like we were walking towards the yacht club, and I was at the beach club and couldn't make the walk up until like we got even closer. So I wish they'd extend that range a little bit more, especially, or just, I don't know how they would do this, but if the estimated wait is 45 minutes, don't make me like actually walk up. Let me do it from wherever and I'll mosey over there.
Right. No, I can agree with that. Let's not wait 45 minutes right outside the restaurant.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Do you think that this is going to mean Disney is going to be a lot less ready to do a last minute cancellation without the charges involved? Like if you've got up to 2 hours to cancel it without paying the fee, I know we've run into times where somebody got sick, had a headache or whatever, and we've just walked up and the guests have, or the cast member has said, fine, we'll cancel it. Don't worry about paying the fee or whatever. And I don't know whether we were within the 2 hours or not, but I feel like with this now, they're gonna want to use it as a way to fill seats and not end up with last minute no shows. So they are going to penalize people who do the no show.
I think as long as people take the effort to talk to guest services, or you know, they waive the fee. We had an issue on our last day where we had a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique appointment, and we also had, so our Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique appointment was at 9:10, said 30 minutes to an hour, and we had a 10:40 dining reservation at Crystal Palace. At 10:30, we were finally being taken for hair and makeup. So at that point, we were at the lunch hour, and we just walked up to the Crystal Palace booth and explained the circumstances, and they said it was fine. So we weren't penalized for it. I think as long as you're, you know, you call or talk to guest services, it's not an issue.
Are you still able to modify?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like I wasn't able to, in saying that, I wasn't able to because I was trying to do the modified trip, you know, where you modify for a reservation further on out and then you cancel that reservation.
I know if you're within 20 minutes, you can't modify.
Oh,
but if you do it before, so that'll be interesting to see if they change modifications as well. Cause
that was the big loophole.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a hack.
Yep. So that's all that I have.
I think I'm set. I'm
pretty wrapped up too. Cassandra, do you want to do a bit of a bit for DVC resale?
Yeah. So
our sponsors.
Yep. Most people know that I have joined Scott Ferrioli over at DVC-Rental. So we assist members with renting out their Disney Vacation Club points that they are not able to use. We also happily assist renters who would like to stay at deluxe resorts and not pay direct Disney prices, you know, to Grand Floridian, Polynesian, Riviera. You can stay at those resorts renting members points at a fraction of what you would pay for Disney. So we are the broker for that. So that's at DVC-Rental. I'm Cassandra. I'm more than happy to help you.
Awesome. Well, I guess we're wrapping it up then. It was nice to see everybody, all the smiling faces, talk about all the interesting things. Nobody at work wanted to talk to me about Disney at all this week. So I'm glad I got you
guys. It's a bummer.
Yeah. So all we're going to say is bippity boppity boo from all of us here at the Royal Court News Review. We wish you magic and pixie dust until we see you again.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.